is Valerie Renee Alvarez, and the respondent that I'm interviewing today's name is Truman Parrish Moore. Today's date is December the 1st, and we're at Bordeaux Apartments in Alice, Texas, and the subject of our interview today will be World War II. Okay, Truman, where were you? When did you begin the service? When were you inducted?
I went into the service on September 22nd, 1943.
Okay, and how old were you at the time?
I was 18. I was 18. And I was bused to San Antonio to the reduction center. And I went through a physical. And 3 days later, they bused us to Camp Maxey, Texas, which is close to Paris, Texas. And I underwent 3 months service there. Then I was sent to the West Coast in a camp close to Salinas. I stayed there 2 weeks, and then I boarded the USS Rawlins. And we spent 22 days at sea. We landed at Cebu, which is in the Philippines on the island of Leyte.
And, what kind of jobs did you do while you were on the ship?
The only thing on the ship, there were so many men on the ship, the only thing we did was pull KP. Every man on the ship was pull KP. They were 700 black individuals. And it was 6,000 of us. Mm-hmm. We zigzagged at sea to keep, I guess, the submarines from firing torpedoes at us.
Spotting you, oh.
And, but when we landed at Cebu and Leyte, we went ashore, and Marines in the 77th Division were inland fighting. Mm. I joined the 77th Division when we taken Leyte. We went to Cebu. When we taken Cebu, we went to Saipan. And after most of the fighting was over at Saipan, we went to Iwo Jima, which was already taken by the Marines. Mm. We were an occupying force.
You were what?
An occupying force.
An occupying force.
And I stayed, and then before I went to service, I had taken CB training, radio training. And when I got on Evo, there was a need of radio people. So they sent me to Guam. And I tagged three weeks crash course in radio. Then they sent me back to Iwo Jima. Mm-hmm. I was transferred from the infantry to the 20th Air Force. Mm-hmm. And I was a radio man on a B-17 and waist gunner till they dropped the bomb on Japan. Mm. And when Japan surrendered, I went back to Iwo as a radio man. And from Iwo, I went back to Saipan on the way back home. I was and I arrived back in Frisco. But I was in the service 22 years and 2 months and 22 days.
22 years, 2 months?
2 years, 2 months and 22 days.
Okay.
I was landed back at Frisco, and they put me on a train and shipped me to Dodd Field in San Antonio and discharged me. Mm-hmm.
What kind of emotions did you experience when you first were inducted at 18 years old? Were you nervous? And
no, I wasn't. Nervous. Actually, back then we were fighting a war that was for our freedom, and I was anxious to go.
You were.
I was nervous through training. I was scared a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Than that, I wouldn't want to go through that again, but I wouldn't take anything from our experience.
Did you have any brothers that went with?
I had one brother that was older than I that was in the armed services. He was in the Army. He was stationed at San Antonio. And then he was stationed at Temple, Texas, and he was in the commissary. He bought meat for the Army in the U.S. I'd say south of Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He bought me for a temple. He bought me for the hospitals in San Antonio. I don't know when he went in, when they first drafted people before the war started, and he stayed in the war until 45, September 1945. And then my other brother was drafted, he was taken, and they went, they taken him to San Antonio, and he didn't pass his physical. He was cross-eyed. Without glasses.
What were the men like that you worked with?
Oh, we were all in the service. In 77th Division, we had buddies. You had a buddy in the foxhole with you, or and they were all, we were mostly all alike. We just wanted to get it over and get back home. Mm-hmm. And had no trouble among us. We were all in the same boat and doing the same thing. And if we cooperated, why, that would save lives. Mm-hmm. The enemy was we call them crazy, but they actually was fighting for their way to heaven. They were fighting for the rising sun, and they believed in it. And they would, if they run out of ammunition, they would put their bayonets on and just run right straight into you, right into fire. They'd run so many of them into a machine gun that they just, they'd be piled up. They, when they died, they thought they'd go straight to heaven. I didn't see any of this, but it's in history that they would get in a plane and load it with all the dynamite and explosives they could and dive it straight into a ship. That's how we lost so many ships on the, in the Battle of Okinawa. On Iwo Jima, when the Marines captured Iwo Jima, they said they could take it in 9 days. And in 9 days, they were still on the beach. They killed 6,000 Marines. The Marines killed 42,000 Japanese. Three surrendered. It was 8 miles of cave on Iwo Jima, and the island was only 8 square miles. You've heard a lot about Suribachi. That was an active volcano. You couldn't, on the island, the only way you could get into the water for recreation after the war was over would be to run. The sandy beach was so hot it burned your feet. So you'd run till you hit the water. You play out in the water and bother you. But then you had to get out when you got out of the water, run back to about 25 yards till you got off of the hot beach. We had sulfur coming up through the tarmac at, on the airport. At the runway, it was 8 miles long, the longest one at that time. And sulfur was sifting up through it all the time, all over the island. There wasn't any thing on the island, no trees, nothing, just volcanic rock. On the north side was a huge cliff, and you could stand on that cliff sometimes and see the aquifers. They had a little ledge where the water went up, and the aquifers, come up on that edge.
Oh, gosh.
But if you moved, I mean, if you just, one move, it's all gone.
Mm. What kind of activities did they have planned for you? Were you just constantly watching your back, or, you know, waiting for attack? Or?
The only activity you had was on the front, you could, might get a cup of coffee. Your food was K rations and C rations, and they had cigarettes in those, and a little chocolate bar, and the rest was packed kind of like a Vienna sausage is today in a can, where you just rip off the top, mm-hmm. you know, and you, of course, you had your kit with you, mess kit, mm-hmm. and your thermos bottle, and we didn't have any activity like go out and play baseball or mm-hmm. something. We were busy fighting a war, and you was either on the front, you stayed on the front until your objective was taken. The enemy was some distance ahead. Then you might relax a little, sit around in a circle wherever you were. And in South Pacific, it rains all the time, and it is real hot. You can sweat during a rainstorm if you're out of the rain. All the vegetation, they have palm trees, coconuts. They have what we call elephant ears today around the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were so huge that you could get under one and not get wet. Oh, they were 6 feet in diameter. There was a lot of disease you could catch on the island. That they had worms that were in the sand that were so small that you couldn't see them, but they'd tunnel up through the bottom of your foot. And then they'd go to your stomach. And a person that had that disease would look like a pregnant woman. His stomach would be so big. And of course, we always wore our shoes. That was a must. And we didn't have time to treat those people.
Mm-hmm.
We knew what was, but
there was
no
cure?
There was a cure. But you take the natives out in the grass huts that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they was right in the middle of all that war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Japanese didn't treat them too well. We fed them after we got there.
Oh, really?
But the Japs would, it wasn't nothing to shoot one. It's like shooting a dog. That's the way they thought of it. Of course, we were humans, and we knew they were humans. And they were Filipinos. There's Filipinos today.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Marcos, you know, mm-hmm. and how many shoes his wife had and all that.
Mm-hmm.
How rich he was. Uh-huh. But they were, we would, after I was in the service, I transferred to the Air Force, we'd give our parachutes to the Filipinos. they were white silk. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any clothes. The next, we give a parachute to a family one night, and the next morning, they come out wearing a dress of white silk.
Nice.
They did work for us after we settled down before we went to Cebu. Mm-hmm. We have a little relief that they give us a 2 weeks relief where we could do what we wanted to. We could go to town and get drunk, or we could do anything we wanted to. And we let them wash our clothes. And they'd wash your clothes, and then they'd take all the clothes and fold them. And then they'd take the big old GI towels we had and tie around them, mm-hmm. and tie a knot at the top where they couldn't fall apart. And then they put it on top of their heads, and here they come. And they'd step sideways anyway. But they had an act of balancing that on top of their head. Mm. They had, I don't know where the Jap occupation caused this or not, but they didn't have too many morals there. They didn't have any restrooms or anything. But they were good people. They loved us, mm-hmm. because we liberated them. Mm-hmm. I left Evo with 38 points. Men with 38 points could come home. And I had 38, I had over 38. But
how did they justify the point system?
Well, the time of service.
Oh.
And also, if you had a Purple Heart or a Bronze Star, mm-hmm. would add points, and your missions and your B-17. Mm-hmm. But they shipped me back to Saipan. I went back to Saipan on a C-54 paratrooper plane. I was mustered out at Saipan in about 10 days. And I have forgotten the name of the ship I came back on. But we got back in 8 days. Now, that will show you the difference between a straight run and 22 days when we went over zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
When we were zigzagging going over, we had three large destroyers on each side of us, smallest destroyers in the center, and they were 46 ships. When I landed at Ulithi, mm-hmm. that's the first stop, there were so many ships there. The island was real small, but there were so many ships there that you couldn't see them. I would imagine it was over 15, over 1,000, or 15, mm-hmm. you know. And then when we pulled out of there, we had two battleships, four large cruisers, and I don't know how many small cruisers. Them little things is, they're a submarine fighter. Mm-hmm. And the little things that dash in front of you and mm-hmm. think you're going to get them. They get a reading somewhere and everybody take off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not seen them for a day. But all the ships stayed together. Well, one night, during the night sometime, the ship split. There were 19 ships an hour. One large cruiser and about three small cruisers. And where the other ships went, I don't know. I have no idea to this day. We went to the Philippines, you know, where they went. I was in Leyte, that's an island of the Philippines. Manila is the main island. They might have split and went to the main island. Or they might have been a task force at sea. I don't know. There's a lot of things that happened that you wondered about.
That you didn't get answers to?
Well, no, they common soldiers didn't. He didn't know what he was going to do until they told him he was going to get off the ship and land. And we, the way we debarked the ship is they let down big rope ladders, half a length of the ship, flatted, and we climbed down them, get in the LST, which was a boat that had one machine gun on the back for the pilot.
LST was a ship?
LST. It was a small landing craft. And it would run up, it'd go as fast as it could towards the beach. And run up as far as it could on the sand. And it had a big front, it just lay down. And then you run off of that and spread out in different directions and try to find you a place to hide where you can get shot at. Now, I didn't experience that but once, so that was Cebu. Leyte, they was already fighting inland when I landed.
Oh, you didn't have to get in.
But I landed at Cebu. It's the place MacArthur, the big picture of MacArthur wading ashore, says, I have returned. Well, that's where I landed.
Oh, that's amazing. What about mail? Were y'all able to receive mail and send out letters?
Yes, I got a lot of mail from my mother. It's, sometimes you'd get six letters at a time. And then you might go,
weeks without getting anything?
Well, 3 months.
Oh my goodness. Was that because they couldn't locate you or?
They weren't trying to get mail to us.
They were just trying to.
They just got mail to us when it was convenient. Because mail was no.
It was a luxury, I guess.
It was a luxury, yes. Like I told you, that we, after we'd take something that we might, that it might let us relax for a couple of weeks. Well, that's when you generally get your mail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they knew where you were. But it just wasn't, we didn't have time to, or the officers, generals didn't have time to think about mail. They were trying to win a war. And
they didn't want.
And the Japanese were about to give up. And they had minds of their own, and landing and fighting, and they just didn't have time for. The only time a mail ship come in, you could generally tell when a mail ship come in, it'd be if a tanker come in to bring fuel or fuel at sea. Then they bring the mail in, and first sergeant at the headquarters would say, mail time, and of course everybody went, he didn't ask you, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, some didn't get mail, mm-hmm. because it just, it might have been put somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to got a letter. Most in one time I did, but then the next time I got six. And I wrote, and they'd asked you to write, and we'd write home, and couldn't say anything. You couldn't say it was raining. They'd put it out, they'd mark it out, because if it fell in the enemy hands, why? They say, well, it's raining, he's on this, you know, this time of year, he must be on this island, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All you could say is, I'm okay, how's things at home? You just couldn't talk about yourself. Because they had ways of blotting it out, or they weren't. Before I really got acquainted with the system, I told Mama everything, and I said, I'm okay, and that's all she got.
I'm okay. Oh.
We blotted the rest of it out.
Mm-hmm.
They had a machine that would do it.
Just ink it out, or?
It was just giving up territory or fighting to a certain line, you have to win a war, go into it to win, not just get in there and fight like they did in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
In World War II, the Japanese had attacked us. We knew what we were fighting for. We were fighting for our freedom and our families back home.
Well, I think that's a good conclusion. This is Valerie Alvarez, and I have just interviewed Truman Moore. And just to review the date, today is December 1st, 1996, and we are in Alice, Texas. And the subject of the interview was World War II. And Mr. Moore has given me a lot of information and insight into his experiences in World War II. And I would just like to thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.